This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Two men in a tiny urban apartment contemplate life, death, the afterlife, faith, and fate in Cormac McCarthy's play The Sunset Limited. One man, black, has just saved the other, white, from a suicide attempt. Instead of parting ways, they engage in an extended conversation that challenges their beliefs about mortality and existence itself. The Sunset Limited is now in production at Greensboro's Triad Stage. It stars my guests on the program today. Harold Surratt plays black. Kevin Kelly plays white. Welcome to both of you. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Also with us in the studio, Stacy Peebles. She is a Cormac McCarthy Scholar and Assistant Director of the Lloyd International Honors College at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. Hello, Stacy.
Hi.
Let me start with you and ask you, we have a little bit of an idea about this play. Tell us more about the two characters, black and white.
Well, there's only two characters in the play, and that's in itself pretty interesting. It all happens, all of this happens in just one room. Black is can be described as an evangelical Christian, although it comes out in the course of the play that his beliefs are actually somewhat unorthodox. But he believes that it's his responsibility to look after his brother, to save his brother. And White is a professor, an intellectual, and also an atheist. He could be described as somewhat of an existentialist in the way that he describes the way the world works, but I actually hesitate to use that word since his beliefs are so extreme. They go so far towards nihilism that existentialism is almost a little soft.
Because his existence is the thing he wants to snuff out.
Right, and he doesn't really believe that he has any responsibility for his fellow man. He is polite to Black, and they do have a connection, but he is, in his own words, sickened by his fellow man. He sees himself in his fellow man and doesn't like what he sees. And so the idea of community is not something that he has any warmth for, any desire to have.
Like it or not, he is in a community now in this small apartment. Let's get a sense of what that's like if we can now. If I could ask you, Harold and Kevin, to set up this scene for us that we're going to hear from the play.
Harold.
This is, I believe this is just in the very beginning of the play where Black has rescued White from the attempt of suicide. And it's not really clear about what's gone on, but there's been some discussion about the belief in faith and in Jesus and Black's strong belief in Jesus.
I suppose that as the audience meets the two gentlemen, they're resuming a conversation that has been happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you really think that Jesus is in this room?
No, I don't think he's in this room.
You don't?
No. I know he's in this room. Well, it's how you put it, Professor. Be like me asking you. You think you got your coat on? You see what I'm saying?
It's not the same thing. It's a matter of agreement. If you and I say, I have my coat on and Cecil says that I'm naked and I have green skin and a tail, well, we might want to think about where we should put Cecil so he won't hurt himself.
Who's Cecil?
He's not anybody. He's a hypothetical. There isn't any Cecil. He's just a person I made up to illustrate a point.
Made up?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing. The fact that I made Cecil up, we're not going to get into this again, are we?
But you did make him up.
Yes.
And his view of things don't count.
No, that's why I made him up. Look, I could have changed it around. I could have made you the one that didn't think I was wearing a coat.
And was green and all that stuff you said.
Yes.
But you didn't.
No.
See, you loaded it off on Cecil.
Yes.
See, but Cecil can't defend himself because of the fact that he ain't in agreement with everybody else makes his word no good. I mean, aside from the fact that you made him up and he's green and everything.
He's not the one who's green. I am. Where is this going?
I'm just trying to find out about Cecil.
I don't think so. Can you see Jesus?
No, I can't see him.
But you talk to him.
I don't miss a day.
And he talks to you?
He has talked to me, yes.
Do you hear him? Like, out loud?
Not out loud. I don't hear a voice. I don't hear my own voice, for that matter, but I have heard him.
Well, why couldn't Jesus just be in your head?
He is in my head.
Well, I don't understand what it is that you're trying to tell me.
I know you don't, honey. Look, the first thing you got to understand is I ain't got an original thought in my head. If it ain't got the lingering scent of divinity to it, I ain't interested.
The lingering scent of divinity.
Yeah. You like that?
Harold Surratt and Kevin Kelly reprising a part of the scene, a part of Cormac McCarthy's The Sunset Limited, now in production in Greensboro at the Triad Stage. Let me ask you about this. The dialogue, witty, it's very clever, it's inventive. We're taken now into the imagination whose imaginary figures can actually come to life. It's brilliant stuff. And at the same time, this play is a philosophical play. It's two guys talking. Your job is to bring the drama to this. What are the challenges of dramatizing what is an intellectual debate, Harold?
I really didn't focus on that. You know, I focused more on just the character and the relationships. And I think because he's written it so well, in a way, that begins to, for me, sort of take care of itself. You know, like, what am I doing here? Who is this guy, first of all? You know, and really find out who the character is and who I'm dealing with, that began to take care of it. I didn't really worry about the circularness of the argument, if you will, you know.
Kevin?
I'm just trying to get out of the door. In many ways in life, the most dramatic things in the world are, you know, how do you say your piece? How do you walk out of a room? How do you get in the room? How do you get what you need? And so to put it on a very, very practical level, you hang that. How do I get out the door? And whatever he presents me with, I have to get around that to get out the door.
Stacey, where does this work fit for Cormac McCarthy, this particular play?
Well, it's interesting. It's a bit of a departure. He's of course, more known for his novels. He was originally a Southern author. His first four books were set in and around Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where he grew up. Then he moved west and proceeded to write books that, in some senses, can be called westerns because they're set in the Texas-Mexico area, Blood Meridian, All the Pretty Horses. And these are big books. They have a lot of words. They have long sentences, pyrotechnic language, vocabulary that'll send you to the dictionary. And The Sunset Limited really comes at around the same time as The Road and No Country for Old Men. There's a probably apocryphal story of him calling his publisher and saying, I've got three things, what do you want? And they're all pretty different than what came before. The Road and Sunset Limited both came out in 2006, and they have a lot of affinities with one another. They're both set in pretty spare circumstances. The Road, of course, is post-apocalyptic. Both plays acknowledge a world that is overflowing with violence in a lot of ways. I mean, both of these characters are characters that have acknowledged the extreme violence of the worlds that they live in. And both of those stories are also pretty minimal. The Road is really centered on a father and son. And the language is stripped down, too. I mean, this is almost a platonic dialogue of a play. You heard that in the excerpt, just back and forth, kind of quick little bits and then occasionally longer speeches. So in a way, it's a bit of a departure from McCarthy because it doesn't have that sort of regional richness that some of his earlier stuff does. But at the same time, he's still engaging a lot of the same philosophical literary questions, I think, just doing it in a different format.
Well, and when it's published as there's a note on the book that says it's a novel in dramatic form.
Right. And we don't know. If you look at actually McCarthy's papers, his archives, we think that might have been the publisher's decision rather than his. And of course, if you want to sell more McCarthy books, that would be a natural thing to put on the cover,
maybe. To sell a novel. You talked about the violence and the fact that both of these men have violence in their past. They respond to it in very different ways. Black is essentially redeeming his violence. He's now going to be the one who redeems this violence by saving life, all life. And the other response to that is, yeah, or just give up, right? So that's a philosophical argument,
right.
But we have black and we have white. Race obviously plays a part. What part does it play in this play, do you think?
I think it's not primary, and that's one of the reasons I know that Preston Lane, who directs the play and is our artistic director of Triad Stage, that they chose to do it because it is a play that has people of different races in dialogue, but race is not actually the primary thing that they're talking about, and really there's not a heck of a lot of theater that does that. But certainly they come from such different backgrounds. They have different ways of speaking. They have different ways of understanding the world. And their conception of the violence of the world is also quite different. I mean, Black's conception and experience of it has been very personal. I mean, he has stories to tell. White's stories, the ones that he tells are a little more distant. I mean, these are things that are encountered through art, through literature, through history, right? The history of the world. So I think that's interesting because McCarthy acknowledges that racial dynamic, but it's not exactly the starting point, and I don't think it's the ending point either.
I'm curious to know what you do as actors in terms of your own backstory, how prominently you have to play that or think about that as you build these characters, Kevin.
I'm constantly curious about that as well. It's a slippery little fish trying to come up with a character biography to flesh that out. A writer's given you certain things. This is a very terse script, very spare, so you have to find the information that's there, but you don't want to add something on top that actually is distracting. And it's not, you know, it's not a play about what the guy had for breakfast.
No. It's about something.
Well, yeah. in the same kind of way that you and I walk into this room and we have an entire history and life behind it, we don't make a point of presenting each other with everything that we know about our past. So it's a tricky little thing. It's always a tricky thing.
That's why I ask you, Harold, because then he goes to the extent of naming his characters black and white. It's pretty hard to get away from that, and yet it's pretty clear from watching this play it isn't primary but an important part. Difficult for an actor, I would think, to find that balance.
Yeah. And the language, I always just try to go – it's very spare, and a lot is left up to the imagination to come up with. But I think that the language gives a great insight into – how they speak and who they are. Once you can, if you can catch that fish of that dialogue, it really does a lot of the work. Network says a lot for you.
I think in terms of the dialect and dialogue, you hear someone speaking from experience and someone else who's lived a life in their head, and those two worlds really collide in this play. A lot of the drama happens up in those two worlds that you can't see. In many ways. And tell us about what went on in the production process, Stacey. I know you were there when Preston Lane was going through the initial rehearsals and wanted to go through this line by line before he really – why? What was going on there?
Well, this is an interesting production for me. The Sunset Limited has been very recently taken up by a number of theaters around the United States and then abroad as well. I may be wrong. This is the only production I know of that has decided to do the entire play – not cut anything and not do an intermission to follow all the action without interruption. And that's difficult because it's a lot of dialogue. I'm so impressed by the actors, just the fact of memorizing all this stuff and then at the same time you're memorizing it, right, figuring out how to shape it and how to work with it. And I know that was that's as always a big challenge. But the decision to really treat this quite seriously. The HBO version cuts quite a bit. And even though they still do, I think, some really essential parts of the play, it's so delightful to get to see a company and two actors working through this, again, line by line. And it's a lot to confront. I was also impressed with, I was there on one day when Kevin says, no, I really want to break down this speech. I need to know what it means in order to say it correctly. And that's really important, especially the character of White near the end of the play. He doesn't say a whole lot until the end of the play, but when he lets loose, he says some pretty big stuff. And it's difficult. It's profoundly framed, but it's really crucial for his character and for the play as a whole. So it's been fun to have those conversations. I mean, as a professor, this is great, right? I mean, this is what we all do.
Well, and professors aren't the only ones interested in his work. As you pointed out, a great deal of interest in theaters around the country in this play, The Road, No Country for Old Men, of course, made into movies in recent years. Is there some trend? What's going on? Why the interest now in Cormac McCarthy's work in terms of other media?
Well, it's interesting. All the Pretty Horses was adapted for the screen. That didn't do as well, even though it was an interesting production. But I think it was No Country's success. That won Best Picture, obviously. And I think people really saw, you know, when you dramatize McCarthy, you get some stuff that you might even miss on the page. I mean, I remember I read No Country and I thought some of the dialogue was so funny and so regionally accurate and so clever. And it's the same with Sunset Limited. You can get the humor when you read it, but when two people are going back and forth and it feels so natural in the different ways that they're speaking, there's a delight there that really works. And then when pieces like this shift into something more serious, I think you end the experience with an interesting understanding of these patterns of life, where you have, you know, moments of humor and then moments of seriousness, moments of, that confront pain and suffering. And McCarthy does all that very well.
You had the chance to, after Sunday's performance, there was a talk back, an opportunity to field questions. What kind of questions were you getting?
They were good questions. One of the students in the audience asked about fate and free will, which was a great question that I wish I had answered better.
You mean the play doesn't answer that? I could sit through the entire thing and you guys don't come to the conclusion?
Decidedly no, and that is indeed the point. But she made the point that both characters at one point say of their decisions, I don't have a choice, which in Black's case might have something to do with fate, but I'm not sure that you'd call it fate for White. You might call it determinism. Somebody asked what McCarthy is going to do next, what the next work that comes out might be, which is a novel called The Passenger, which I think is slated for publication in 2012. But generally, they were thoughtful questions, good questions, a couple of questions about fine points of the script and of the performance. So generally, I thought there was a lot of interest, which was great.
I want to thank you all for being on the program today.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Stacy Peebles is Assistant Director of the Lloyd International Honors College at UNC Greensboro. Harold Surratt and Kevin Kelly play Black and White in the Triad stage production of The Sunset Limited. The play runs through March 6th in Greensboro. For more information, visit triadstage.org. We're going to be up in Greensboro on Friday for a special broadcast from the Upstage Cabaret at the Triad Stage. We're going to get an update on Triad news. Also talk to famed Russian conductor and musician Ignat Solzhenitsyn. We're going to hear live music from the band Songs of Water. So if you are in the area, you want to join us Friday afternoon, Triad Stage in Greensboro, please do. To reserve your free seat in our live audience, send an email to rsvp@wunc.org. That's our program for today. Thanks for listening. Our website is stateofthings.org. You can follow us on Facebook. This is North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio.